I would like to call this meeting to order. It's a little bit late, so I apologize to everyone that we should have started right at 6:30. And we had some technical difficulties. Would it be possible to leave that door open? Does that, is that causing a noise issue? Or
no.
Are you okay with it, leaving it open? Just allows the air to circulate a little bit, yeah. I understand that the air conditioning doesn't work here in this district office. People probably are happy to hear that in other places, but those of us out here are not happy about it. So I have, the only comment I have is that I would like to welcome everybody. Kim is away, so tonight I'm chairing the meeting in her absence. I would introduce David Purley as the First Nations representative, and I'll, during correspondence, I will share with you a letter from the minister regarding Mr. Purley. Under consent items, I have approval of the agenda, and I think that we're going to make a couple of little adjustments to the agenda.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just wondering under superintendent reports for academic excellence, I know we weren't going to do the presentations, but are we going to move that report as well to June? Or
I think what the intent is that Catherine will give a very short
report
on academic excellence. And the presentations that we would have been expecting tonight were from Leeds. Is that correct?
The
two presentations?
One's from the director of curriculum and one's from my dad and accountability.
Sorry, yeah.
One is on Leeds.
Yeah, one's on Leeds and one's on assessment data.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would move that those be presented in June.
Okay, so Mark is moving that we move the presentations on the agenda to the June meeting, and Wallace is seconding that. Any further comments on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. And one other change to the agenda, I believe?
Well, I know the student voice we had talked, moving that to June. However, I don't think it needs a motion because it's not in our funding cycle.
No, that's correct.
It just allows everyone agrees.
I'm more concerned about GP-10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would move that GP-10 be rescheduled and discussed at our fall planning session for the day.
Okay. Mark is moving that. Andrew seconding that. Any questions? Question? All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Any other adjustments to the agenda? Okay, and now we have, we'll take a minute and have a look at the minutes from the previous meeting. Are there any errors or omissions in the minutes from the previous meeting? And that meeting date was April the 19th, is that correct? Is this the previous meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yes, April 19th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. April 19th, is there any errors or omissions to these minutes? Okay, so we will then approve the agenda and the previous minutes by consent. Moving on, there is no business arising from the minutes listed in our agenda. I have three letters under correspondence. I have a letter from Superintendent David McTimony, who is asking to exercise his original request to continue his leave of absence for one more year. Originally, we afforded him a leave of absence for one year with the possibility of a renewal for a second year for him to go and be the principal at Summerhill School in Oromocto, and he's enjoyed that so much, he'd like to give it another whirl this year. So I think we have already approved that by approving his leave in the beginning. So the only thing I think left to do now is to hear a motion regarding the continuation of Catherine in the role of acting superintendent. So she received a letter from us, and we passed a motion on October 19th, 2017, that stated that Catherine Blaney was given the position of acting superintendent as of August the 24th, 2017. That would run for one year till August the 24th, 2018. And now we are looking to expand that appointment up to and including August 23rd, 2019. So we will need a motion to do that.
Madam Chair, if
yes.
you entertain that motion, what would it read like?
It could read as Catherine Blaney continuing her role as acting superintendent for an additional 1 year period ending August 23rd, 2019, as per our letter of offer dated October 19th, 2017.
So someone could move that.
I'll move.
Wallace will move that. Seconder, Miriam. Any comments, Wallace, as the mover? Miriam, seconder, any questions?
She's done a fine job.
No questions?
Question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Our second item under letters, correspondence, was our letter from Minister Brian Kenny. And he has sent us a letter appointing David Purley to fill the vacant First Nations deck seat. So that's not something we approve. We're informed of that, and Mr. Purley's here tonight, and he was introduced to the council at our half-hour working session in advance of the meeting, and we've all kind of done some introductions, and so he sits at our table now. Welcome, David. And our third correspondence is a letter from David. See, I had all this in front of me when I started this meeting. Where did it go? Here it is. David, Matthew Stainforth. If any of you remember, Matthew was at our meeting that Leo Hayes gave the presentation on the tech wing. The two students that spoke about that, and Matthew made his comments at the meeting basically about the boys laying out a pretty good case and supporting the trades programs in the schools and etc. So he has sent that to us in a formal letter. So I'll just acknowledge that in the minutes that we received that correspondence. Moving on, we are now at the acting superintendent monitoring report. So the first report is ASDWER2, Academic Excellence. Take it away, Catherine.
So 2.1. ER
2.1. Oh, sorry, my agenda only says 2.
2?
Yeah.
2.1. So this is the Academic Excellence. So on the portal, you are going to have a copy of the new sort of template for you to put your evaluations in and comments in. It's in Word form tonight so that you actually get to put some ideas down. So it's on the portal for you. The DEC policy 2.1 calls for the superintendent to create a learning environment where students thrive in order for them to gain the skills so that they can be successful post-public education. So some of the items that we are working on and do are teachers adhere to the provincial curriculum and the guidelines around minutes of instruction. In subject areas. And specifically, we monitor the schedules and timetables for those three areas that are your focus, literacy, numeracy, and science. So it included in that report that you have on the portal tonight, we've included report card data for literacy, numeracy, and science. It's only for November. When we report on this in additional times coming up, we're going to include report card data from April and June so that you can start to look for trends. So that is moving forward. Tonight you only have the November, and that was due to when the report was completed and when we had access to report card data. So moving forward, you'll be able to see at least two or three at a time so that you can look for trends. As well, our DIP goal number 2 focuses on creating assessment capable learners. The coordinators and the directors are working with teachers to incorporate strategies to develop skills in students that strengthen their ability to understand where they are in their learning, set goals and their own targets, and then determine the steps to take in order to reach those goals. And that is supporting the development of critical thinking skills. Again, an area of focus for the DEC members. As well in the report, there is a link to our district policy 250-15, which is our employment performance evaluation policy. And the district has developed tools to support our administrators for strengthening and reviewing practices that include walkthrough forms, that include summative performance forms, and both are used to provide feedback to classroom teachers on their own teaching with the goal of strengthening practice within the classroom. And as stated earlier in this meeting, during the June public meeting on the 7th on the 7th, the DEC will be provided a presentation that includes a more in-depth understanding of the provincial assessment results. You have a one-page document in your report, but we're going to go into it a little deeper on June 7th, as well as a presentation related to the curriculum leads and how we use leads in ASDW to strengthen practice in classrooms. Any questions?
Heather?
Just kind of occurred to me when you were going through this, the Premier made a statement last year of maintaining the same number of teachers in the province. And I know those positions were to be distributed, and I'm wondering what evidence we have that those positions, I don't know how many positions that would be in this particular district, but I would think that that may have been some help towards academic excellence. I don't know if you can include something like that in the next report. Because there would have been positions that would have been.
The extra FTE was due for classroom composition. It could have gone from guidance to resource teachers to admin positions. So it's not necessarily directly related to classroom.
Oh.
So there was a broad spectrum of what those FTE could be used for.
So.
Go ahead.
So could we have an update on that as part of that next report as to how many positions there were in this district and how they were used? Would that,
that it, we didn't give positions as in 1.0. So we would have added extra FTE to in guidance. So a school that may have, according to formula, have 8.3, we may have given additional, like a 0.5, so an additional 0.2, because they're high school. So I'm...
Right, but you would have, somebody would have all of that information, because that would be, could that not be included as part of the report?
How we use FTE?
No, how we use those, how the district used those extra positions. Like, I don't even know how many FTEs were this district received in accordance to what the Premier stated in terms of maintaining FTEs.
We can certainly provide you with the numbers of FTEs that we've given out to schools, like how many classroom teachers. But again, I'm trying to delineate
that from operations.
I'm trying
to understand what you're asking for, Heather. So let me just see if I can come back. So are you referring to like cuts that were made and then the Premier made a promise that nobody would be fired? Is that kind of like the brass roots?
He would maintain
the
current level of FTEs.
Okay, so the cuts were made, the schools...
I don't know if the cuts were made, but my understanding of what the Premier's announcement was is that he would maintain the current level of FTEs. So let's say last year the FTE was, and these are just hypothetical numbers, 45 FTE, but maybe because there was a declining enrollment, we only needed 40 FTEs. That means that the district maintained 5. So what were those 5?
So you want to know that you want to know that it happened, that all the positions were maintained.
Well, I just assumed they were. So
I
shouldn't assume that. I wouldn't have thought of that unless you said that.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm just saying that was
I would see that as an operations thing, where they put the people, I guess, is what I'm, where they put the FTEs. So the mandate of the district was to maintain the number of FTEs.
The province.
The province. Right. That each district maintain the number of FTEs.
I can give you an overview of the FTE that we had last year, the overview of it, plus the FTE we received this year, just so that you can see whether the FTE was maintained.
Okay, I can't get that information. I just thought it really fit well under this policy and would be an excellent part of that report, because I'm sure some of it would have been focusing on literacy, numeracy, science, extending student learning. I just thought those would be, I just wondered what happened to that FTE.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I'm not sure
and
that
I
can
that's
give,
operational.
And I would say deciding where that FTE went, we used a lot of information to make those decisions. And we used it based on the profile of a school, needs that we know. So to me, that is operational. I can give you an understanding, or I can give you a number of what we received in FTE and what for last year and this year. Certainly can do that.
Okay.
I don't need that. That's
anybody else have any, Mark?
Not specific to this, and I think we're going to be dealing with this in the fall, but I just want to make sure, I guess I get it on the table. I'm not sure we're there yet in terms of format and even our expectation of how to look at it. So I know in our policy committee we talked about it, but is this something, I don't know what you had or even as a deck we had in mind in terms of this transition. We're in a transitional period, so it's not like someone's doing anything wrong. We're just all learning. But I guess I have the expectation that, you know, there's a certain amount of leeway, because I think we're going to do more discussion on it and maybe some updates in the fall. Is that a good assumption, or should I just dive right into format? And
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Well, we're transitioning how reports are done.
Oh, yes, okay.
Right,
yeah, sorry.
We
yeah.
have interpretation,
yep.
evidence,
yep.
and all that.
Yeah, I think that we've gone through two or three different kind of samples of reports, and
yeah.
and I think the consensus, the most recent consensus was that we would have something that we could actually give feedback on.
So that's are you talking? Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you talking about the report that would go up onto the public venue, or are you talking about the one that was created for you to give feedback on, or both?
No, the public, no, but the mechanics of how it's
okay.
written, how we record, you know, what the final, and I know, like I said, we're in a transition, and I don't think you expect us to get into, well, I think we could tweak the format.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's an expectation of that.
Okay,
no.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Okay. Any other questions of Catherine regarding the academic excellence of report that she's given? Great, thanks. Superintendent report, ASDEL6, and if there's a point on it, it's not on my agenda.
No, this one hasn't changed.
I think effective use of schools, I think we're turning the tables over to Sean here.
No, I just camp out here, sorry.
You, wherever you feel comfortable.
Just camp in a tent, there's not enough room. Okay.
No, it's too hot.
Yes.
So you've had an opportunity to review the report, so I won't read it in its entirety to you, but the effective use of schools monitoring report basically is a summary of, you know, tell you how many schools we have, 69 schools, we have 15 schools with 40 modular classrooms currently in use. We're adding another 8 modular classrooms this summer as well. To a number of schools. You would have seen before the functional capacity rating, and then there's the schedule that shows the functional capacity of each one of our school buildings. So if it is, you know, less than 60%, we would say that it's a school that has some room. If it's over 80%, it's at optimum or approaching full. As well tonight, as background to this report, I have a presentation on the infrastructure, major capital and capital improvement projects, as well as a sample of what we actually produced for the infrastructure database, which is a snapshot of information on every single school that we have. So that information will be, some of it's already on the portal, some of it, the 69 schools will be added so you can see them at a later time. So that's basically this part of the report for effective use of schools, and I'll fill in the blanks when I do my presentation, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
So,
any
good
questions?
With that one.
Any questions?
Okay, sorry. Any questions? Okay.
So I'll jump to the next one, sustainability of schools, EL7. Really, this report is grounded in policy 409, a multi-year school infrastructure planning policy. Talks about the process for completing a sustainability study. We had one sustainability study that was tabled on King's Clear Elementary School and until October 2018. We have in the version of the policy, it talks about triggered schools. So a triggered school is a school that has less than 30% functional capacity or less than 100 students. So there's some details in the report on which schools fall where in that, so I won't read that to you. Again, the functional capacity ratings guideline, you would have received that in advance, that shows basically every school's functional capacity in their district. The District Education Council determines which schools will have a sustainability study conducted, taking into account the major capital priorities and the triggered schools for evaluation. So ultimately, it's the council's decision as to what gets studied and when under the policy. So that is sustainability of schools.
So are we going there next?
We're
there, right?
We're either there now, or I can do this and show you which ones we're going, and then you can base your sustainability off of the presentation, or you can do it now. Doesn't matter to me.
What do you want to do with respect to this? Do you want to hear this rest of the report, or do you want to go ahead and deal with the sustainability issues at this point?
I'd rather hear more of the information.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Everybody else agree with Mark?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. We can go to that.
Go to the 7 slides.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I may just make a comment in regards to EL6 and 7, which Sean would give in his report, but we do have copies and they will be changed in due time. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this presentation is on the multi-year infrastructure plan and capital improvements. So Okay. So the district has identified a list of 30 projects with an estimated value of just over $3 million for consideration as part of education's capital improvement process. As you know, roofs and fire safety issues are prioritized above all other projects on the list. So those are like ones and twos, and everything else kind of falls after that. So the list, once it's approved by council, can have changes made following the roofing reports that are conducted over the summer months. Districts add known roofing lists as part of the initial approval stage. So when we do our capital improvement process during the winter months, we're looking at current roofs that we know that we've got an issue with, and we identify those right up front. We know that it's leaking, whatever, we're going to put it on the list right now. But what happens during the summer months is that DTI goes in with their roofing inspectors, and they review every roof in our district. And then they'll come back to the department with a deficiency list of, you know, a soft roof or whatever that needs to be repaired. So so we have, in our overall capital improvement list, we have about $61 million worth of projects, 471 projects in total. So as I'm not, you've had an opportunity to review the 30 projects. I know that Angus had was made available to you to answer any questions you had about the list. I know it's a snapshot in time. So tonight, one of the things council will have to do is approve the list as it is now, so it gets submitted as part of the entire package. So yeah, we can go to the next one. So the district keeps a database of each school and updates that on an annual basis to support decisions around sustainability and our major capital infrastructure. So we've got a sample that I can show you of Florenceville Elementary School. And she's going to bring it up. But basically,
you have such confidence.
I do. I do. So you would have access to all 69 schools on the portal. If it's not there, it's going to be there. Angus completed the work early. We had till May 31st, but it's done now. So it shows a variety of information. Student enrollments, the trends over the last 15 years, a number of description items, and for those of you who have gone through sustainability studies before, you know that we describe all of this information in the sustainability study. So we basically pull the stuff from this and plunk it right into a presentation to help guide the sustainability study. So there are a number of pages. There's operational costs in there for school. It's equated to per square meter and per student. Talks about the feeder schools, the catchment areas, the transportation piece, some more historical enrollments, and what capital improvement projects have been done, the history of what's been done at the school, as well as, it's not showing up, but there are actually maps of internal maps of the schools that are there, so the AutoCAD drawings are part of that file as well, so you can see the layout of the school. Yeah, so that is the infrastructure database that sort of, we do one of those summaries for each school, and we provide that to the department so they have this information on each school. So we can go to the next one. So major capital priorities. So Anglophone West has identified the following major capital projects for council's prioritization.
So, sorry, Sean, I'm being interrupted.
So we have they're in an order, but we have Leo Hayes expansion for shops and trades area. We have a new school in Hamwell. We have a new school for Liverpool and Forest Hill, which combine those two schools into one K-5 school. We have a new school for Nassau Memorial and McAdam Avenue, which combine both of those populations into one new school. We have Carlton North Midlife Upgrade, which we've had studies, it's actually a study being completed right now by government on Carlton North and on Woodstock High School. We have also listed in there a replacement school for Devon Middle School and a replacement school for George Street Middle School, two of our oldest schools that we have. So the this information has been compiled from a number of different data sources that funnels into this. So Leo Hayes is part of the Leo Hayes catchment study that we had, Ernst & Young. The new school in Hamels tied to the Southside study. The Liverpool Forest Hill is tied to the Southside study. NASA's Memorial McAdam is tied to the Northside Elementary School study. And the other ones are being completed. So that is the list. And so based on what council decides tonight in the order, tomorrow I will prepare a letter for the department based on the decisions of council tonight as to what the priorities are for the district, as well as any feasibility studies that we're going to conduct or any additional midlifes that we would like to be considered for the future. So you can go to the next one. So we basically just have one midlife study that we're proposing to the department to consider to do a study on it. It's Nassau Middle School. It's had some upgrades. ISD was added to a portion of the school in the back, took over, I believe, three classrooms. There are a number of deficiencies in that building, and it would really be a good candidate to have a midlife done on it, because it is a viable school. It's a modern school, you say. It has a field house beside it. It also has a pool. And anyway, so that's why this one is being recommended to be placed on the list. So future feasibility study, I have two on there. The first one is a Carlton North drawing area to align with the midlife study of Carlton North. So the idea of studying the area is that early indications from the Carlton North midlife is that there is space available at the school. They have surplus space. So in that area we have two elementary schools and one middle school that are, they're aging, right? They're older buildings. And they're, rather than make a decision just on Carlton North saying, you know, should we add the middle school? Should we, you know, demolish something, whatever? It's better to look at the whole piece and make the right decision for the area. So have a study conducted and then make a determination from that study along with the midlife to make an informed decision. So that's the thinking behind that. The Chipman Minto School feasibility study, that was a carry forward from last year and I believe the year before. It's just we had a number of studies that we had identified, so now we've conducted a bunch of them. I do know that government is, they have $200,000 in their budget this year for feasibility studies, so based on the submissions that come in from the districts, they'll be enacting some studies right away. So that's feasibility studies. So the next one is a future sustainability study. So based on the major capital list that I showed you tonight, there are four schools, which would be combined into two schools. So whenever you add something to the list as a major capital where you're going to impact a particular school population, that's when a sustainability study needs to be conducted. So by doing the sustainability, it supports the intent of council to merge those two schools into one, right? So this is the consultation piece that comes with parents and public and all that, right? So I've included on here those four as potential sustainability studies for council to consider. So that is the extent of my presentation tonight. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Mark?
Is that PowerPoint on our portal, Carol?
I'm not sure if it was because
okay.
Carol's
no, it's
email
fine.
Crashed.
Just, I guess, a couple of housekeeping questions, not getting into that. The infrastructure, we used to call it the infrastructure binder because everyone got a big binder. But the infrastructure report, is that what's on there and we can't open, or is that not on there yet?
It's on there and you can't open it.
Okay, all right.
So
we have problems. So it is available. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know where we're going to start, so wherever we're going
okay.
to start.
Okay, so is there any other questions of Sean before we get on to the next stage of this process?
How much is the Leo Hayes addition? What's the estimate on that?
$1.9 million it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because, well, we're putting it as number one, but almost seems like it could come out of some other account.
Well, the qualifications for major capital is anything over $1 million is considered major. Anything under $1 million is considered a capital improvement. So it falls into this category, just like a gym would. Same idea.
Okay, so I guess the first place that that we would be looking to go would be to talk about the trigger schools. So we have a list of triggered schools that that we are not required to provide an exemption for. Burton School, because it was studied in 2015-16, understanding too that at any point, whether it's on this list or not, we can bring it back to the table and for a study. The Gagetown School as well, they were studied in 2017, 2016?
No, not studied, we just requested an exemption.
Oh, we provided an exemption from 2017 to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsclear Consolidated is a motion that we've tabled until the fall of 2018. The Academy Elementary School, we studied them in 15-16. Voted status quo, and that would give them a 3-year exemption to 2019. McAdam High School the same. And Nakowick High Middle School received a 1-year exemption for the 2016-17 year, where we studied them in 2015-16 and remained status quo. I would question maybe that might need a little boost, but that leaves us with the Bristol Elementary School. These would be trigger schools that we may be looking to have an exemption for. Bristol Elementary, Chipman Forest Avenue, Doaktown Elementary, McAdam Avenue, and Upper Miramichi. So will we do them together as a lump, or do you want to do them separately, or do you not want to do them at all? However, Mark?
Well, if we have an exemption, we would need rationale, and I'm wondering if you or our superintendent has prepared
anything. Yeah, I have some rationale here.
So
with respect to the Bristol Elementary School, it has 97 students and a 50.52 functional capacity. Consensus was given not to study the school during the 18 and 19 enrollment because enrollment is closer to 100 students and potential Ernst & Young study may be completed on the area schools.
So I would move we exempt it based on that rationale.
Okay. So are we going to do each one individually?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Is there a seconder for that? Wallace?
I would move, because it takes time to do what we're going to do at least 2-year exemption.
2-year exemption for Bristol. Wallace, are you good supporting enough. That as a seconder?
Yep.
Any questions? Heather?
I have a question. What if, I suppose it doesn't, if we decide that we wish to have that catchment area studied?
That would not have any effect on this.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Any all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Chipman Forest Avenue currently has 165 students and a capacity, functional capacity of 28.45%. More descriptive functional capacity would be about 29.1 based on 17 classrooms. All kinds of little figures in there. There's a reciprocal agreement with the RCMP that sees functioning satellite police station within the school. A group of CFAS students and families from Coles Island have recently participated in a sustainability study, and it may be important to monitor the outcome of that study and how it relates to enrollment and capacity at the school. It is a newer school, 1988, with complete vocational education setting. We talked about having that monitored for future policy 409 study. So what we are looking for is to determine whether we want an exemption for Chipman Forest Avenue School. Anybody want to move that? Hey, Faith.
I move that we give an exemption of 2 years, perhaps. Or
two years? Anybody want to second that? Sean? Any other comments or questions from the mover or seconder? Any comments from the floor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Doaketown Elementary, 64 students and a 26.67 functional capacity. They were granted a one-year exemption in 2017-18. It was based on compelling circumstances that a significant investment made by New Brunswick Public Library Service and Village of Doaketown to upgrade and improve the village library that has housed in the school. School has daily access to the library. Historical agreement between the community and the school system at the time of construction of Central New Brunswick Academy, opened in 2010, could be explored. Described as an understanding that grades 6 to 12 for Boys Town and Doaketown would move to one school in New Bandon, but the elementary schools in each community would remain. The potential travel time distance for the young children, the district functional capacity of 28.75, and our perceived numbers for rooms available. We had previously discussed that we would closely monitor again for future policy 409 studies. But in layman's terms, I think the issue was that the two schools are at the furthest extensions of the areas that they're in. So to try and merge them or do something with them at this point would just put an unnecessary amount of travel time on these young children. So again, we're looking to decide whether we want to give Doaketown Elementary School an exemption.
Andrew?
I would so move.
Okay.
That Doaketown gets a two-year exemption.
Andrew, two-year exemption. Seconder?
I'll second.
Stephanie? Any other comments? Any comments? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. McAdam Avenue School received a one-year exemption in 2017-18. They have 67 students and a 31.02 functional capacity. I think McAdam Avenue School was on the list that Sean presented to us for a future sustainability study. So if you would like, we can move over that one and go to the next one.
Yes.
Upper Miramichi Elementary School, 98 students, 29.17 functional capacity. Consensus was given previously to not study this school in the following year due to known bus travel times for students again. Same thing as the Doaketown situation, because that's the other school, right?
Yes.
At the other end of the spectrum. So, motion?
So moved.
Terry, second. Mark? Any comments?
Except for 1 year or two?
Two.
Two. 2 years? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. So that takes care of the exemptions that we will be asking the minister for from the triggered school list. What? Yes, could you please draft something for the minister so that gets forwarded on to him? Thank you. Okay, so that takes care of the triggered schools, and now we'll move on to the 409. So we have a list of four schools here recommended from Sean: Forest Hill Elementary, Liverpool Elementary, Nash Roxas Memorial, and McAdam Avenue Elementary. So does anybody want to talk about any of those schools with respect to 409 studies? Mark?
I'm just wondering, in terms of our discussion in order, because I know we have to do capital improvements,
yeah,
and we have to do capital construction. Do we need to know where that goes before this?
We can, yeah. That's fine.
Just a thought.
Okay, well, then to keep things moving along then, I might recommend that we look at the capital improvements prior to the capital construction. So Sean has presented us all with a list of 30 priorities that fit in the $3 million area and is looking for a motion from us to approve that list.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So it's in the report on the portal. That's what we're looking at now. That's
right.
The list for this year.
Yeah.
So my question is around roofs, because, and I'm assuming, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, the reason why we have to approve capital improvements is because we, through our superintendent, through staff, are responsible for our school buildings. That's the impression I get from the laws of New Brunswick that make us exist. So saying all that, we're going to go through whatever length of deliberation. I don't think it'll be that long. We approve it because we are a responsible governing body and the district's responsible property owners. But yet somewhere in the mix of that, another department comes in, looks at Ruse, takes our list, moves it wherever they want, and says, we're doing these Ruse. I'm not sure I understand how we could be totally ignored, whether we should, and not even be informed before it goes to the department, and why they should not be required to do those studies in time to meet our list here. We have a mandate to improve this, to approve this by the end of May, so we're doing our job, but it doesn't really matter. It's like a total ignoring of our role and our ability through staff to manage our buildings. And it's always been, just for the history for those that are new, it's always been that regardless of what we approve, if there is an emergency, we trust staff, if a boiler breaks down or they have to do something major, that they're going to put it on the list. They're not going to wait, you know, if it's the summer, they're not going to wait for us to meet in September. We understand that. But this just seems to be a blatant disregard for the process of what we're going through, unless I've totally missed something.
No, I think you're right, Mark. Now, I just have a question to come back to. I know that after our last meeting, you had made a request for some information around the roofs. Did you get that information?
No, I forget the request. Oh, yes. No, the request was how much was done and what was bumped off the tail end of
right.
that
so
list.
Did you get that information?
I don't believe so. No,
okay.
But I didn't follow up, so that was on me too. But I guess I don't know if Sean can speak to those thoughts and where we're at and why that is.
Well, I'll offer Catherine that opportunity
right.
to bump it off to Sean if she wants.
Absolutely, bump
done.
It off to Sean.
Done deal.
Because Sean has more expertise in it. But we did reach out to Sean, and I believe Sean sent a document that has been put on the portal regarding the difference. So one of the questions you had at the last meeting was, what was the difference in cost from this year to last year?
Right.
So I know Sean has provided that out.
Yeah, I saw that.
But we didn't go through each list and say how far down things were
right.
removed. So that we
right.
didn't do that.
Can I just be clear before you start, Sean? I just want to be clear that what Mark is asking is how many roofs were fixed and bumped our list down. So we might have had 30. In that 30, there might have been 10 roofs. In that year, there might have been 10 more roofs. So did we only end up with 10 of our original 30 and 20 roofs?
I haven't quite organized it quite like that.
But that's kind of what we want to know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basic following year inquiry, when it was sent to me, I basically looked at what we submitted for what we did last year for this coming summer.
Right.
What we're doing tonight is for
next summer.
1920 summer. So we had submitted $2.7 million as a package. That's what was approved by council. Within that, there were $175,000 worth of roofs that were district initiated that we presented as part of the package. When we actually received the capital budget this spring for this summer, the budget actually was larger than what we had thought it would be. It came in at $2.995,500 is what the district actually received, so just under $3 million. However, as part of that, there were $1.365 million in roofs. So you can see that there was almost $1.2 million of roofs that were prioritized ahead of other projects that we had put in the hopper to be done in our school buildings. So the number of projects that, so the deferral part of that, so So what was bumped? So from that year, because of the 1.3 in roots, it deferred 15 projects to tonight's list, has 15 projects of last year's list. And because we had other things that crept up this year that we added to the list, so it prioritized other things from 18-19's list off as well. So there were seven more from 18-19 that were bumped to the year 2021. So it'll be part of next year. So essentially 22 projects moved down the list and got spread over a two-year period before they'll come back into the cycle to be done. So it's pretty significant as far as the number of projects. Now, mind you, the roof is, if the roof is leaking, that affects everything else, right? So that's why in my presentation I talked about the roofs and the fire safety being prioritized above everything else. It's a snapshot, the best that we've done based on the information that we have at hand. However, when DTI does their roof inspection, for whatever reason, there was a larger amount of roofs identified by them, and then of course they were prioritized ahead of our regular our capital improvement projects for a variety of different things, right, that we put on the list. So no Great. Question it had an effect on
Sean, that. So based on what you're saying there, as well as your next Mark, but based on what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say is that there are things that are put on the list. So for instance, a heating system is put on the list for Devon Middle School. And a heating system is put on the list for the Gnome School. And then we have all these other things that happen. If the heating system blows at Devon Middle School, even though the heating system is on the list at number 29, if it blows, you have to move that right up to the top and fix the heating system.
So
we've gone through, just let me finish, we've gone through and we've done the assessment of all the repairs that need to be done, and one of them is the new heating system at Devon Middle School. So what Mark is asking is, for the same, under the same rule, why are not the roofs also somewhere in that list, and if they leak, they get bumped up? Why do they not get inspected to come into this list and then get bumped if they leak, the same as you would a heating system? That's pretty clear?
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah. Go.
I'd like to have the answer to that, but I don't have the answer because that is outside. Like once we give the list, the department and DTI, they take that list and it basically funnels into the great big list, and then they divvy out the money that they have for the year, taking into account the roofing reports as part of it, and it happens in the summer. And I know the timing, we approve in May, they go out and inspect this summer and have a look at the roofs and see what happens. Oh my gosh, you know this roof, number 2 on Ormuffer High School, needs to be repaired this year, can't go, it's going to leak, you know, imminent. They don't go and try to find extra money to fix the roof. They take it from that year's capital improvement allotment. And it's out of the district's influence at that point.
Okay, Mark, your turn.
And I want to say that I'm thankful these roofs are being done and protecting our asset. I'm not saying that. But it almost seems like we have to work within a framework,
yes,
and they don't. And that bugs me. But until I guess I explore a little and figure out what we can do, I'm wondering if it's even feasible or even the interest of the deck as a whole to say, okay, we're doing all this work tonight, and certainly I don't want to step into operations and I don't want to make any extra work for staff that's not legitimate, but it wouldn't be any more than a monthly and probably more quarterly to say, here's the list we approved in May.
Here's where we're at
in September. Here's where we're at in December. And I'm wondering if that's a reasonable request.
I think based on what's happening, I think it's a very fair request for that to come back to us. If we're responsible ultimately for that list and the dollars that are associated with it, I think it's a very fair request to see even twice a year where we're at on that list. Okay, that being said, do we have a motion for the 30 items on the improvement list? Wallace moved, Sean second. Sorry, I just got 4 second time delay. Are there any other questions for anybody regarding this list? Does anybody want to add any kind of amendment to this list to ask for a reporting period back?
I would actually like to have a quarterly report back.
So you want to amend, no, you want to just change the motion because you moved it?
Yeah. Or you can amend it, whichever you want to.
It's easier if you change it before debate starts.
Yeah. Okay, so you're moving that we approve the top 30 within the $3 million budget, and that you're asking for a quarterly report among those 30 of where we're at.
Yep.
Among those 30, is that correct?
Yep.
Just to be clear. Sean, are you okay with that?
The only thing about doing it quarterly is the time frame for when the decision is made, like the process. So it's approved by council in May. It goes to the department. They will come back to the district and say, is there anything else, you know, that's come up, you know, that you're aware of that you need to prioritize? So they do some check-in with us in the fall, and then they add in the roof thing. So, yeah, when we get to that point, we could give you an update of that. Then the list goes to the government, and they make a determination on what's approved in December, and then we get a letter from them sometime, you know, February-ish, saying this is what you're approved for capital equipment. So it won't change, that list won't change after December. Once it goes to cabinet, that's...
Well, it will change if there are emergencies. I think that's what we want to know.
So, now, one thing I can say about emergencies is there, if we have an emergency, say something on the list got bumped, a boiler, you know, was supposed to be replaced and didn't get replaced, it got bumped, and it blows, we immediately undertake a repair and replace the boiler, and the government has emergency funding available, which we use to...
So that doesn't affect our $3 million, is what you're saying.
It doesn't affect the $3 million. It's outside of that.
Okay.
So any big...
But do the roofs, are they affected by the $3 million?
The roofs are factored into...
The $3 million.
Because the inspections are done in the summer prior to it going to...
But do you see, Sean, what we're saying, the logic there? You know, so one is not covered, one is. We're not getting a chance to make any kind of decision on that, but it's still using our money. But if the boiler blows in September, it's not using our money. It can get removed from our list if it gets fixed, and it didn't use our money. So logically...
So if I was going to pick like a time where it would be good for council to check in on what's going, I would say... September
or October
and then again at the end of November because then we should have a really good idea of what's on the list and if something has changed and we can actually say what's been bumped and what hasn't. We'll know by then, but after that nothing happens until we do our spring, you know, review of everything and we reprioritize because we move past the December, you know, cabinet review and all that, right? So we certainly could provide a couple of different check-ins.
Okay, Mark?
I know we're still developing the motion, but what if Wallace, of course, would have a motion that says that Catherine or we would come back with a reporting schedule so he could just write up a common sense reporting schedule and we can approve it at our next meeting?
Absolutely fine, yeah.
I'm fine.
Okay, Wallace, you're good with that? You have that, Carol? Good. Sean, you okay with that? And this, Sean, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor? signify with aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. So it's been established that we've requested that a proposed reporting system come to us at the June meeting for this list for the upcoming year. And nobody wants to, I would entertain a motion about the roof inspections if anybody wanted to go there, but if they don't, then I'm happy to let that go as well.
I think when this comes up for discussion, I may be more prepared.
Okay, that's great. So that takes care of the capital improvements. And I guess now we are on to our capital construction list. So is that up on the board here?
Yeah.
That up there? Yeah, okay. So this list is not has not been prepared in any specific order except point one and two have been point one and two for the last couple of years. The rest of the things on the list are pretty new to us. Is that fair to say? Correct? So how do you want to do this? Mark?
Madam Chair, if it's okay, I think I'll just start with a motion and then lead into debate. And I'll leave my remarks for the debate. But I would like to move that the new Hanwell School be number one and the Leo Hayes expansion be number two.
Nobody wants to second that, do they? Wallace. Mark, any comments?
I'd just like to say I see, you know, the extreme value in the previous Leo Hayes number one, Hanwell number two. I think all these are essential to education, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel that it's important for us as a district to make sure we get money every year, because eventually I believe all these are very good and they will all be funded. And I feel with the last couple of years, they haven't funded. There could be a number of factors. We don't know for sure. We know Leo Hayes is a public-private partnership. We know it's still needed, but we know the need in Hanwell. We know the support in Hanwell politically. We know numbers-wise. We know community engagement. And I just feel that it's worth a shot, at least for 1 year, to see what the government would do. We've had presentations on what they call the quadruple bottom line. It's a matrix the department uses to take out some of the politics. And we know they've scored well. We have had indications, although they don't share that data, that Hanwell has scored really well. And I'm simply asking Madam Chair, as the councillors, that they would support that motion, because I think they're both worthy, but I think it's worth a shot to switch it up and to see if we can get funding for the Hanwell School. It's definitely needed, not to take away from the great need of Leo Hayes and the students that present it.
Okay, Wallace, do you have any comments?
Same thing, I guess. With my thoughts are, like I say, we've had Leo Hayes at the top for a while, and my belief is I don't think it's a P3, I think it's called a P3 school, right? That we're actually going to get any government money until they decide what they're going to do with that school. I believe in the project, and I think it needs to be kept to the top. Hopefully someday we'll get that money, but I've been here 2 years, and I haven't seen any movement on that project at all, so I'm hoping by keeping it up there we can get some money for it, but we really need to go ahead with this Hanwell School, too, to get that settled. So we got so many other schools in Fredericton South that's hands on that project, too, so. Anyway, that's my thought.
Okay, any other comments? Heather?
I would also agree with the motion. I think, I do believe that the students at Leo Hayes are being unfairly treated because of the lack of the shops and trade areas. I think that's something that this province and our premier should recognize outside of a capital budget, that those students, after having taken all of those trades and shops out of schools, we're now putting them back in, and I really see it being unfair that we have to even include it in one of our capital projects. I agree with Wallace about it being a P3 school. I think there's something wonky in there. That's not a really professional word, but there's something up. So I think a lot of other schools are also dependent on a new school in Hanwell, mm-hmm. and how that affects the capacity at the other schools too. So I would also support that motion.
Stephanie?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think the government should think about public-private partnerships in the future. I don't think this has been good in this decision-making process. I don't think public-private partnerships have a place in public schools, really. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
That.
Anyone else? Okay, so nobody else is, so I will make a comment. I echo what you're saying about the P3 schools. I watched over the last 4 years or three plus years the number of schools that have received funding for trades and et cetera, especially those that have not even been requested anywhere, specifically Petticoatiac, I think, received a big drop of money to put in a trade school. There's Trade Center in Chipman, is there? There's trades being taught at the middle school level in Chipman. We have a very large population in Fredericton of high school students, with two schools housing in excess of 4,000 students almost. We have a very limited trades program at Fredericton High School that is open to the students on the north side of the river. I would call it unfair. Without a doubt in my mind, I will not be voting on this motion tonight because I'm chairing. So it will be what it is, but my support will rest with Leo Hayes, and I agree with the P3 issue. And I think, as the representative from Leo Hayes, that this gives me motivation to go back to attack this from a new level. A new direction, so that the students on the north side of Fredericton have access to that. Considering the socioeconomic structure of the north side of Fredericton and the amount of lifetime communities on the north side of Fredericton, which not limited to, but including Barker's Point and Devon and Marysville, those areas are long-standing areas in our city that people have been there all their lives, and there are a lot of students that would benefit from this kind of a program, and our city would benefit from this kind of a program on the north side of Fredericton, and I think it's a shame that they don't recognize that. Okay, so if there's nothing else, are you ready for the question?
Question.
The motion is that we move Hanwell School, just settle down, Darren. To the number one position, and Leo Hayes High School to the number two position on the priority list for the capital construction budget for this year. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Really? Not one? Abstentions? Motion carried. Okay, so the next, Heather.
We're still on the...
Yeah, I'm going to the next
okay.
one here. So we've moved those around. So the next thing we should address, the next thing on the list would be the Nashwauk Sis Memorial McAdam Avenue situation. South on number one, north on number three. Get it? Anybody want to talk about that? Sean, anybody want to talk about that? The potential for a new school for Nashwauk Sis Memorial McAdam Avenue area.
Sorry, just to clear up the confusion, me, Sean, or him, Sean?
You, Sean.
Make sure I'm right on. Well, no, I mean, I think that's a good recommendation. That was out of the study that we had completed on the Northside School, so just done some great work by the staff of the district. There is a need in there. There's 18 schools, I think, that will help relieve the pressures and the deficiencies in those two schools, and will help that district on the whole northwest area there is growing, so I think as part of that, looking at that in the Massachusetts is more on McAdam Avenue was one of the two recommendations for a school. There's another one to build further up. So I think that's one similar to the Hanwell situation where there's kind of other dominoes waiting to fall based on decisions made there. So I think that that's a good recommendation for us to put forward this year.
So you would potentially put that in the third position?
That would be my recommendation.
And then would we, along with that, address the fourth position as the Liverpool Forest Hill combined? So that it becomes one motion and those two items become item 3 and 4 on our list. That's this in McAdam number 3, Liverpool Forest Hill number 4.
Yeah. Are you making that motion?
Yep.
Sean, you're making that motion? Is anyone seconding it? Terry? So are there any, do you have any comments, Terry? Like Sean has already made comments.
Just that it would be the same kind of thing. Forest Hill and is a small school. Liverpool is a relatively older school, and they're both bursting at the seams. Both have probably as many mobiles as they can get in the space they have. It's encroaching on their playgrounds and all that kind of thing as well. So it would be, and I think the schools, you know, the population from the schools are really.
Good. Any other comments or questions? Mark?
I just want to say Sean's motion was very good, and I agree with that.
Okay. call for the question?
Question.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, so the next two items on the list are the Carleton North Midlife Upgrade and the Woodstock High Midlife Upgrade. So it has been stated very clearly earlier in the meeting that both of those schools are currently having a feasibility study done, and in order for justification for the upgrades to happen, they need to remain on the list for capital construction. So, Mark?
Well, I just had a general question which came up in our working session, and that is, I thought last year, and maybe Sean or Catherine can correct me, that they were somewhat not just capital priorities, but it was capital priorities and then midlife upgrades.
Yes.
Kind of separate, so that the province is not overriding number one, because number one we know now is Hanwell, but midlife upgrade is down to number
okay.
five.
So would you propose then that we move the two midlife upgrades out of this list and make a separate list for upgrades?
I would move, Madam Chair, that Carleton North and Woodstock High be 1 and 2 on a midlife upgrade list, separate from major capital
projects. Does somebody want to second that motion? Andrew? Heather?
My concern is, can we do, and perhaps through you to Sean, other Sean, is that should we have two lists?
Well, that's what Mark's proposing. That we have
I know. But government-wise, DGI-wise,
okay.
Is
Sean?
My question.
So, as far as the letter I said, breaking it out like you proposed in your motion, having the major capital priority, which is school construction, and then having a list of midlife upgrades. The only thing I would add is that in my presentation, there was a third midlife upgrade.
Nassis Memorial School. Nassis Middle School.
Nassis Middle School that we
okay.
would want to add to that midlife upgrade list. So you can prioritize, say, Carleton North, Woodstock High, and then throw in
Nassis Middle.
Middle on that list. And I'll include it as a separate block in my memo.
Okay,
but
so
it still means the same thing to... Like
so while we're still preparing the motion, Mark.
I would, Carleton North, Woodstock, and Nassis.
And Andrew?
I have to agree
and
that.
Heather, you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah.
My question is, when we looked at, through you to Sean again, when we looked at Nassis Middle School, were they already having a midlife study
no.
done?
No, they were not.
So, once again, Carleton North and Woodstock High are presently having midlife studies.
Which is why they
done.
Are 1 and 2.
Right. So if it's in the same group, does that make a difference? Secondly, we have a lot of questions around Carlton North, whether it is feasibility, whether it is catchment, whether it is midlife upgrade study, whatever. Since I'm representing the Woodstock area, there are not going to be any changes in that. So I would just propose that we head it above Carlton North. And my buddy is not here to
support
counterpart that. No. My counterpart is not here. I am just saying, I just think because there are no questions surrounding Woodstock High midlife upgrade, and we have a lot around Carlton North, I just would like to reverse that order.
Okay. Well, we have a motion already on the floor,
I know.
Moved and seconded. So we will proceed with that motion, and if it doesn't pass, then that would give you an opportunity to make another motion. So is there any other question? Yeah.
This is the only question I have, and I think through you, Sean. Does it make sense to have two separate lists?
Again, it's one letter that's sent. It's just how I divide it, right? So last year, I had the major capital priorities. I had the midlife upgrades that were currently in process. So Fredericton High School or Mukto High School were on that. And I had the feasibility studies that we wanted to do as a district all on the same list here. So that's how they receive it from us. And then they recognize that some of them are upgrades. They know that studies are being done in Carlton North and Woodstock High. It's like it's the facilities group at the department that reviews this. And then they prepare based on the quadruple bottom line. It goes through this process out to cabinet, right? So the one list, it's one letter, just broke into different pieces. So it doesn't, it's how you want me to prepare it.
Mark?
So for me, and I...
Is this
I,
new, what you're going to say?
No, this is in relation to this.
No, I mean, is it something new that we haven't heard yet?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, it's the reason why this motion was made last year and this year, because we, mostly me, will pound my fists on the table when the government doesn't respect our authority.
Right.
And when we put it all in one list, we're saying you have to give us our number one first, but unless it's this. So to me, it's a matter of principle. We're following principle. You're going to fund our number one before you do two, three, four, or five. That's why I will always continue to try to move midlife to a separate list.
Okay.
So we're not forcing them.
Is there anything, any new questions or concerns anybody has that have not already been said? I would entertain the question. All in favor? The motion is to Carlton North, Woodstock High. All those in favor, sorry?
Nashua.
Nash Rocks Middle, All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
All abstentions? Motion carried. So that being done, we would probably need one more motion to move Devon Middle School and George Street Middle School up to positions 5 and 6 on this list, and then it would be completed.
I so move.
Thank you. Second? Miriam?
Right up.
So the motion is to move replacement school for Devon Middle and a replacement school for George Street to positions 5 and 6 on our capital construction list. Any questions, concerns? Call for the question.
Questions.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Congratulations. That's taken care of. And now there's just one more issue before we get to the 409s would be that we've had some discussion about requesting a study on the Carlton North feeder area immediately. Is that something we want to entertain here tonight?
Yes, in my opinion.
Okay, so again, another motion is required. Okay, Faye, thanks. Any seconder for that?
I'll second that.
Thank you. So Faith and Heather are requesting an Ernst & Young study to be done on the Carlton North feeder area immediately. So that it would involve Bristol, Florenceville,
Bath.
I have no idea.
Oh.
No idea. I'm just winging it here.
Just by point of information, yeah. Not to speak on the motion, I'm wondering if we would leave Ernst & Young out in case they hire another company.
Okay, Faith, are you okay with leaving Ernst & Young out?
Definitely.
And just saying that we are requesting a study on the Carlton North Peters area immediately?
Yes.
Florenceville, Bristol, Bath. Is that right?
No? Bath is in the midst of
upgrade. I was
going to
say.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So, Florenceville, Bristol, that's what we're looking at, right? Okay, you're good with that?
Yeah.
Whoever seconded that motion, you did. You're good with that?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Moving on. So, now we're left with, we've put Nassau Middle and Elementary and McAdam Avenue on our list for a new school, so this might be a good opportunity for us to think about doing a sustainability study on those two schools, as well as Forest Hill School and Liverpool Street School. Yes, Mark?
Just going back to feasibility, they did mention Chipman and Minto, and I wonder if we would consider Chipman and Minto
sure.
feasibility.
Would you like to do that?
I would move that.
Okay, so Mark's moving that we consider Chipman Minto for feasibility. For study, Faith, just for study.
Yeah.
Faith is going to oppose the motion. is there a seconder for the motion? Wallace.
So Mark? Just to clarify, there's usually a study, usually by Ernst & Young.
Yeah.
Then it has recommendations. If there's anything, then we have a 409.
Yeah.
So it takes several
years.
But yeah. this is a really good information, and it can help all of us, even representatives that live in that area.
Yes,
so.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Call for the question.
Question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. So, we have capital construction involving four elementary schools in Fredericton. They are Nassau Elementary, McAdam Avenue, Forest Hill, and Liverpool. Would you like to do them in 2, 3, 4 separate motions or one?
One
motion? Who wants to move that motion? Terry will move that we conduct a 409 sustainability study on the following four schools. Nassau Elementary, McAdam Avenue School, Forest Hill School, and Liverpool Street School. Would there be a seconder for that motion? Sean Winslow. And Mark, you have a question?
When would that start, and should that be in the motion?
I believe it would start in September, and it would conclude by January. Should that be in the motion? Terry, would you like that in the motion,
yeah,
as we're still building the motion? And
I
Sean,
would just
are you okay
include
with that?
When it started, just in case. We have some leeway on ending. Maybe.
Okay, so we will begin in September of 2018. Okay. Okay, we're good. Any further comments or questions on that motion? Terry?
Those schools would be notified.
Yes.
As soon as, if the motion passes.
As soon as possible, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that they have people there. Okay.
And
Mark.
I think it's important for the new people to understand that it is a study and there's no outcome yet. It is studying the sustainability of it. And whether it should close, remain status quo,
or have investments.
Right.
Okay, does everybody understand that? Those are the three possible outcomes from a sustainability study. Status quo, invest money, or close. Unless you're Kingslayer, then you just wait. okay, any further comments? Miriam?
Where it's going to be in the fall and I work, I will be to some of those, be able to make it
okay.
to some of those meetings.
Thank you for letting us know that in advance.
Okay.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Damn, I'm 5 minutes later than I thought. Okay. Where's my agenda? Congratulations, everybody. That went very well. Somebody stole my agenda, and I have no idea what's next. Ah, here it is. Here it is. Okay, school success stories. Ready, set, go.
Okay,
who, here, no, do I have that?
Are they on the board?
Centerville Community School.
Those, the first three are Andy's. Would you like me to read them?
We'd love it.
Centerville Community School, grade 2 students participated in a cross-curricular project with Brilliant Labs based on the children's book Boy and Bot by Ann Dykeman. Students created low-tech robots using cardboard instruction and added higher-tech components such as microbits involving coding. No idea what that means. Three students were invited to the second annual New Brunswick Schoolmaker Fair in Memram Cook on May 1st to showcase their projects. Florenceville Elementary School, great participation in the Muduxnicake projects. For those people who don't know how to spell Muduxnicake. Over 100 in-school showcase, over 100 projects were in the school showcase, with one per level going to the grand showcase in Woodstock. Muddy Boots outside area is now being used by Project Webfoot, which brings in other classes in the district for a learning experience, all part of our growing outside classroom at Florenceville Elementary School. An alternative seating grant from Carleton North Community Foundation allowed Florenceville Elementary School to provide different seat arrangements for kids to meet their diverse needs. Carleton North High School, Frederick, competed for Carleton North High School at the skills trade. At the skills trade competition April 14th, where he placed first. Whoever he is, he's done very well.
They have trades at Carleton North, is that right?
Yes, they do. They do have a very good program. In the high school welding competition, Frederick received a scholarship from the Canadian Welding Association, CWA, / Canadian Welding Bureau, and was asked to represent New Brunswick for high school welding at Skills Canada National Competition in Edmonton, Alberta, June 4th and 5th.
Just to point out, Leo Hayes wouldn't have even been able to enter.
Which high school doesn't have welding either. Just saying.
McAdam Avenue, Sean?
So McAdam Avenue Elementary, the school this year took a focus on building relationships and community partnerships. Two initiatives that they've been working on in order to achieve those goals were they had Leo Hayes High School students visit the schools on the second Fridays of the month to lead their students through a variety of activities, including yoga, dance, games, art, science, snowshoeing, and walking. This helps foster the development of leadership skills, role modeling, and enrichment opportunities. Another activity they did was they had all students visit the York Care Center and take part in various activities with the residents. This helped the students develop compassion, empathy, and a great deal of kindness towards their new friends. They painted together, read stories, played puzzles, bowled, played parachute, beanbag toss, and even performed a Christmas concert.
And nobody was hurt in the playing of parachute? McAdam Elementary School, Andrew.
As part of our bilingual learning environment plan project, grade 5 students learned about Acadian people and their heritage as well as their traditional foods. Students washed, measured, chopped, and stirred to create authentic Acadian dishes. This was followed by a cafe lunch consisting of tortilla, frico, potato rolls, and cinnamon buns. Traditional Acadian music was played in the background. Recipe cookbooks were created and sent home with each student. The purchasing of a tower garden and a new blender through the development of a nutritional literacy fund proposal allowed students to participate in planting and harvesting various herbs and vegetables. Students helped in preparing weekly healthy smoothies for all classes in their school to have a nutritious snack. Salad Day was also held.
Thank you. Terry?
Forest Hill Elementary School. Forest Hill Elementary School was selected to be the recipients of 1,500 books from First Book Canada, a partnership with the 2008 Indigo Love of Reading Foundation Literacy Fund. These books will primarily be used to support classroom libraries. And I would like to add to that they also have a couple of tower gardens in the classrooms district in the past little while. And I can't think it came from the Healthy Schools Initiative.
It may have been the same initiative that.
Thank you, Terry. Faith?
Mitchell Memorial High School students have had the opportunity to listen to their teachers and guest speakers during the grade 11 and 12 English class book talk sessions. Students are now doing their own book talks with material that they have chosen from home or from their teacher's bookshelf. Book talks have become so popular that now during pause, students are requesting book club as a choice where book talks take place. Also at Mitchell Memorial High, the car club is a product of a tune-up and emissions 120 course that meets after school and on weekends throughout the winter to work on vehicles that they will take to the Miramichi to race in the spring.
Thunder Road.
The club builds on lessons taught in the classroom throughout the week, and students are able to put their skills to work with the assistance of their teacher and local volunteers in the industrial occupations.
Thank you, Faith. Wallace?
Gagetown School. Middle-level students won the Horizon Delta Community Health Recognition Award for their work in the Adopt-a-Grandparent program, which pairs students with seniors at Gagetown Special Care Home. Students team with seniors in social activities promoting empathy and a sense of community while learning valuable life lessons. The grade 4-5 classes participate in a coding arcade demonstrating their abilities in coding. Through a partnership with the Learning Partnership, our students have learned to code and have spurred on the development of a makerspace at the Gagetown School. The students welcome the Minister of Education and a local MP for a national funding announcement at the school, and they even made it all the way to the CTV news in the evening. And I was there for that announcement. It went over well.
Good. Faith?
Chipman Elementary School. Students had a blast at the District Drama Festival performing the musical Pirates. They received awards for outstanding choice of material, outstanding set design. Quinn Levine, a grade 5 student, received awards for outstanding vocal performance in a musical role and outstanding performance in a leading role. Cohen Cipher, a grade 4 student, received outstanding performance in the supporting role. It was very good.
Thank you. That's wonderful for wonderful good news stories from all of our schools in our, well, for some of our schools in our district. Under committee reports, I believe that I believe Sean, is there a report from the policy committee?
Yep. Also, sort of back to the notes from last month, we did have a meeting scheduled for the policy committee on May 10th. We did meet myself, Mark, Heather, Stephanie. We have gone through all the EL reports, or sorry, policies, so EL0 through EL10 have been revised, along with GP3, 4, and 10. My goal was to get them forward for approval tonight by the council, but I did not get them in for the cutoff, so we'll move those to the June meeting for approval. We're also set to meet next Thursday to finish up the rest of the GP policies. So if I can, through you, Catherine, to Carol, what date or time do you need those to make the June 7th?
A week in advance, I think, is what we just determined.
Yeah. Okay, so if I got them to you by end of day next Friday, that was good. Okay. One request that we did discuss as a committee that we want to put out the whole deck was the code of conduct. One of the suggestions was to look towards Stuart McKelvey or to other districts. I provided the Anglophone East. It's a 55-page document, so it is quite thorough. And it wasn't something that we thought we could get to in either of our committee meetings. We wanted to have the deck members take the time to review themselves and have that discussion at the whole deck level.
So, from what I understand, the code of conduct policy from Anglophone East is one that was based on a lawyer's recommendations.
Stuart McKelvey.
And pardon?
Stuart McKelvey.
Chris somebody. And it's very close to our current code of conduct policy, but I think what we might be looking for is to make sure that we have everything covered. And I'll just ask Stacy, even though she's not a member of our council, to just comment on that.
Yeah, the original code of conduct that you have, or not the original, but the version that you have, was created with Stuart McKelvey, and then following the legal proceedings in Moncton, they had some further recommendations. They did a little further review on it to make some wording changes and to clarify some things. One of the biggest thing, the reason that theirs is a 55-page document, is that one of the recommendations was to attach the deck handbook and to attach the oath of office and some of those other supplementary documents, so for legal purposes, so that it becomes part of the document. It just is a part of the outcome from the Crossman case that it would have been easier to submit that all as one document than to try and tie all those documents together. The recommendation was that you make it all one part of one document. So it was the recommendation to the Council of Chairs that each of the decks adopt this new format with the caveat that if you chose not to do that, that perhaps you should get your own independent legal advice if you wanted to make other changes. We have a template, or we have a code of conduct that has been thoroughly vetted by a law firm and tested in court, and if you would like to make changes to that, it would strongly recommend that you do that with independent legal advice, that you have somebody else review it just to make sure that there aren't any unintended consequences to wording changes or whatnot that you make. So just to make sure, we hope we never have to use it, but as we know, we sometimes do. and so it's just good to have all your bases covered. So that was that's the history
on
why the changes are.
Thank you. Okay, Sean, is that it for your report? Okay, thank you. So we have a student voice committee, Terry?
Yes, and we met again on May the 10th. We'll be meeting again to come up with more options. I haven't got a date for that. I'll talk to the members of the committee, and we'll be doing that before the next meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Next on the agenda is public comment. Is there anybody in from the public that would like to comment?
There better be.
Before he gets up and blows our horn.
No, Carrotwoods.
Thanks, Mark. My years of persistence in coming here has finally paid off. No, thanks to everybody. It's great to see it move up the list. The interesting thing, of course, that will happen between now and November with the actual the province's capital funding list happens, is the election in September. So it's kind of a monkey wrench. We don't know what's going to happen because of that, right? But it's great to see it up as being submitted as number one on the list. Very impressed. I would have ran over and hugged Mark, but it wouldn't have had aura, and if only it wouldn't look good. No video cameras, we've just been on the audio, so nobody would have heard of that. No, it's great. I'm glad that people can see the value in it. Obviously, the support from the public is very good. The support is obviously very good. It's very open in the community. There's been lots of events about it, bring awareness to it. Both just not just to the deck, but also to the province. So hopefully that'll also get seen. It's great to hear that it's done well in the quadruple bottom line formula, the history formula. Hopefully they'll get used this year and they don't just ignore it. That's great. And the only other comment I had too was Miramichi Driveway there. 2 years ago, my son won that event. It was the first time in FHS's history that they won.
Great. Okay, any other public want to make a comment? Okay. I don't have any closing comments. Thank you for working so diligently and efficiently tonight. It could have potentially been a 10 o'clock night, but I think that we worked very well together to get our daunting tasks taken care of. So thank you very much. Our next meeting is on June the 7th at the Fredericton Education Center. There will not be a working session between now and then, and that will be our last meeting of the year. So we'll see you then if somebody wants to get us adjourned here.
I will.
Okay.